Well, hello. I don't know why I said it like that. I gotta be honest with you. I think in my head, I was legitimately like, hey, girlfriend. And then I was like, oh, don't say that. And then I was like, hey, babe. And then I'm like, no, don't say that. And so I just said, hello. Like, I'm literally Mr. Bean. Like, what's happening? I took off my Apple Watch, so I have to look at my cell phone. It's 9:47 p.m. Wednesday night, Pacific Standard Time. What are we doing? We're recording an episode of the podcast, obviously. Okay. I have been listening to a ton of Morbid lately, which is like one of my favorite true crime podcasts. And they have an intro that they play every time, and I don't know why, but just hearing it, you like know what it means. Oh, okay, I'm listening to this podcast. It's kind of made me want to do something. So who knows? I might get creative. I might try and do an intro of sorts. But do you know the problem? And if you've been listening long enough or you've watched my content for any period of time, you're going to know what I mean by this. I have a hard time committing to a sound to define the podcast. Like, I can barely stick to a topic while sharing the podcast. And like sharing on the podcast is what I mean. And I have sleepy time tea in my Mr. Rogers mug right now. If we were sitting in the closet together, you'd see this really fabulous mug that I bought from Still City, which they're on Instagram. It's this brand out of Pittsburgh that when I did a collab with Daniel Tiger, I got sent merch from them, which was literally life-giving. It's where I got my Daniel Tiger hoodie from. And I love this mug with everything in my being. If it ever breaks, I will be super gluing it together. Knock on wood. I don't have any wood. Okay, well, knock on wood that that doesn't happen. But we're back again. Blake headed out of town on a business trip this week. And by this week, I mean literally like 4 hours ago. And so we're hanging out. I have one tiny human in a fort that was built in the playroom, and they all started to want to sleep in there. Now, they did last night, but then tonight they wanted to sleep again, but they've dispersed at this point. One to one of their bedrooms, and the other, Corey, is currently sleeping in my bed, which I'm totally fine with. When Blake's not in town and stuff, there's plenty of room in my bed. So I'm like, eh, okay, you know, why not? I'll watch Toy Story. So I drink my little sleepy time tea, and after this, I will probably go to bed, because I've just been really tired lately. I don't know what it is. But I'm just like needing extra sleep, probably because I stay up too late. I act like I don't know what it is. I'm staying up too late. That's what it is. Get real. I do that with my kids sometimes. The girls will say something and then I'll be like, but say what you really mean. And they're like, this. I'm like, yeah, it's like, you know the answer. Someone this week said that. I was talking on a call this week. I had this really cool call with this awesome human who was just giving me insight and being a sounding board. And I was being very apologetic. I was like, well, you know, well, this and this. And I don't know why I do that. And he's like, you do. And I was like, what? He's like, you do know why you do or don't do that. Just say it. And I was like, yeah, you're right. That's, you called me out. But it was very healthy and cathartic. And I loved it. And it was what I needed. So again, kudos to that. What else is going on? We have swim champs this weekend. I'm super psyched about that for London. It's just been a fun experience doing swim. I'm excited for the 3 weeks we have off, but she just told me like last week, she's like, I want to do fall swim. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay, girl. I love it. I love it. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. But the summer heat is murdering my soul. I've said this before. I do not thrive in heat. Other people thrive in heat. I just melt. Call me frosty. Okay. I'm not about it. Also, if you didn't know, we've already planned, you know, we're going to Disneyland in the fall in November. So I currently have my internal countdown clock totally focused on that. That's all I can think about. But oh my gosh, I have to tell you the funniest thing happened last night. So my personality is very sporadic. I will get an idea and I will literally run with it. I will be like, you know, it could just be a suggestion. Like, for example, tonight, Blake was out of town. We did a dine and donate for my girlfriend's son's football team. And we were on our way home. And Lena was like, oh man, I wish we could make the night last longer, like go to a movie, blah, blah, blah. And I immediately in my mind, now I've learned to keep my mouth shut because with tiny people, they can get excited. But in my mind, I was like, yeah, let's do it immediately. Let's look up showtimes. So my mind, like, I'm looking up showtimes. I'm like, it's 8 o'clock. This is not feasible. It's one of those things that, like, the best laid plans where it sounds so good, and then all three kids or two of the three fall asleep in the theater and don't want to walk back to the car, and I can't carry them both, right? So I was like, Amanda, plan this out better. Blake has, in my head, I'm coaching myself, right? Blake has another business trip coming up. He'll be going out of town. You can plan this when it's more feasible. You can, you know, like, just don't jump the gun to be fun. But it's so funny because last night when Blake was helping the girls, like, make sure the fort was sturdy enough to sleep in, right? He asked Alexa to play music from Les Miserables. And don't get me wrong, I think it is a beautiful play, and this is a musical, and this might upset some people. It's also incredibly depressing. Like, it is a triumph of the human spirit. It is a depressing musical. Like, I just am bummed watching it a lot of the time. And I know it's also a beautiful story. I understand that. But it is very sad, right? So Blake puts it on, and immediately Lennon's like, what is this? What is this music? What is this song? And Blake put on, like, the 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 or whatever. And he's like trying to explain. I'm like, you cannot explain this content to an 8-year-old, honey. Like, this is, I'm like, it's a triumph of the human spirit during a very dark time. And there's, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, put on something else, dude. Cause, like, London is my questionnaire. She is me. She is, like, and I have a rule in the house. The only dumb question is the one you don't ask, cause you won't get an answer. Okay. Like, do not be afraid to ask questions. And, like, I'm sure there's some teacher out there that eventually will be, like, annoyed with me for teaching that. But, and yeah, there's a limit to the questions, but I would rather have them ask questions to annoy me than sit there and wonder, right? Because I can ask for a break. So he puts on Phantom, which Phantom of the Opera is, Les Miserables and Phantom of the Opera are Blake's top two favorite musicals. He didn't want to watch a lot of musicals growing up, and these were the two that he was really introduced to. But he absolutely loves Phantom of the Opera, so much so that when I went down to visit him in 2007, when we were friends before we had started dating on a trip I went on, we watched it. The first night I got down there, we ate Chipotle and watched it. So anyways, so he puts it on and Lennon is asking about that. And I'm like, okay, this is easier to explain, right? Like, this composer, you know, is disfigured, blah, blah, blah. Like, you can kind of soften the blow of how intense it is, right? So we're listening to the Phantom of the Opera, right? And as we're building forts with the Phantom of the Opera. Anyways, Lennon's like, I want to see this. And so we look up, you know, where is Phantom playing, right? And of course, it's not in Sacramento right now. It's not in San Francisco. It's not in Los Angeles. It's in New York or the United Kingdom. So Lennon's like, oh my gosh, let's go to New York. And I'm like, ooh, yeah, like, that's my personality. Tell me when, let's book the flight, boo. Like, let's go. And Blake's like, oh, I don't know about that. And I was like, oh, yeah, the Statue of Liberty. And this year, Paige in kindergarten, they spent like a whole week just on the Statue of Liberty. Like, it was a big deal. And she's like, it's 150 steps to the top of the crown. And she's like all excited about it. And I'm like, yeah, girl, yes, it is. It is 150 steps to the crown. I love that for you. And I'm looking at Blake. I'm like, let's do this. So what did I spend an hour and a half doing last night? Pricing out, like, hotels, flights. Is it going to happen? I mean, there's a 99% chance no. But I am here for the 1% that I would convince Blake in August to go to New York with three children. Because, like, you only live once. And it's funny to me, but I just feel like sometimes we make things so much harder than they need to be because we're overwhelmed. Pot calling kettle black. So I'm staring. There's a mirror on the back of the door in our closet. I'm looking at myself and saying this to myself. We make things harder than they need to be with stuff, right? Like, you could just do that one thing, but it's not as exciting as planning a fictitious trip to New York, okay? Look, I had us booked at the hotel in my mind, going to the Majestic to see the Phantom. Yeah, if you guys know anybody who wants a family of five in New York, like, let me know. But anyways, yeah. So that was, and Lennon, I love her. She woke up. She's like, what do you think about New York? I was like, girl, it's probably not going to happen, but, like, let's continue to live this. Let's continue. We want this because I will tell you, childhood dream level, besides being in the Macy's Day Parade, which I want to be in the Macy's Day Parade one day and not to be famous, just simply to be on a float, like, put me on a float. I want to be in the Macy's Day Parade. Okay. But the other thing that I will absolutely take is being front and center booked in that hotel right there. I think it's the Plaza. Is it not the Plaza? Is it the Plaza? Maybe it's the Plaza. But the one that faces right there or right in that front area of Macy's, like that to me, I don't need a $1 million deal. I don't need to be at some star-studded event. You let me sit front row at the Macy's Day Parade and I will have been like, I've made it. I have hit the top. There is nothing above this. I'm waving to Santa as he drives by in his sleigh. Hello. Okay. Anyways, that's enough of that. As we just shoot the breeze for 10 minutes of me just catching you up on what's going on with me. But we're friends and I just feel like, you know, we got to talk what's going on, what's happening. And I think if I'm going to continue to do the podcast, which I want to, and which I love, it just needs to be like me chatting with you over our sleepy time tea. But I actually have something really that I want to talk about that I just think is really, it's an interesting concept. And I think, I hope the correlation between these two things lands, because I think it's a really important thing for us, not just as people and parents, but like human beings in existence on every level. I always come, oh, you guys, we're 11 minutes in for those of you new here, and I have not introduced myself. I don't have a cool intro, but welcome to After Hours with Amanda, the parenting podcast that's not really about parenting, but comes from the frame of parenting, but talks about everything. I am in no way an expert or an authority. These are just my musings that I love to share with you. And one day, like, Dear Media might, like, reach out, and that's the only podcast I can think of. Or, like, oh, my gosh. Like, if, you know, one of those other audio check, if you're out there, Dear Media, anybody give me a call. I am willing to chat. But if not, I'll be coming to you live from my closet from here till eternity in the laundry that never ends. Okay. Anyways, that's my little intro. You see, I probably should get something that was messy. But here's the thing I was thinking of this week. You know, there's this trend on TikTok right now, and it's like, what is it? Tell me something that'll piss me off. And you're like, that you put something that you think would piss you off, and then it's like, yep, that'll do it. And I wanted to do the trend, right? And so I'm thinking of, like, what are things that irritate me, right? Like, not piss me off, because that sounds so aggressive, but that's what the verbiage says, right? So I'm like, what irritates me? And I'm going through all the different things, live, living, blah, blah. And I stop on something that literally grinds my gears, because I don't want to say piss me off, literally grinds my gears. But for the trend, it needs to be like a blurb, right? Like a quick little blurb, like not a whole paragraph that someone has to read in less than a minute, like a second and a half, minute and a half, good Lord, a second and a half. Sorry, I burped. But you didn't hear it. I feel like I did a really good job with that. Anyways, so I was thinking of how people are always like, you need to clean your plate. Like, you know those sayings about food, like clean your plate, or you're not getting up from the dinner table till you finish that. Or if you don't eat it for dinner, you can eat it for breakfast. Or a big one growing up was like, don't let your eyes be bigger than your stomach, right? Because you're going to have leftover food then and you're going to be finishing it. And now, my parents weren't insane of this. My mom, with all of her idiosyncrasies around food, got to the point like where she was like, if it's one bite and you feel sufficed, like I don't want you shoveling food and making yourself sick, right? Because she was really made to clean her plate as a child, right? So she wasn't insane. Like, I wasn't eating dinner for breakfast here. So don't hear what I'm not saying there. But what I'm saying is like this mentality of finish your plate. To me, when I say old school, I'm not referring to a generational group. I'm just saying it's a dated idea. This whole, you need to finish your plate. And now, granted, I get it. You know, that there was a time when like parents and stuff would be like, oh, there's starving kids in Africa, like blah, 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 blah. And I don't know why that was like the verbiage, like why was that the example we were using to get kids to finish food? Like, I have no idea. But this idea that being wasteful, now I'm not promoting waste. I'm not promoting being wasteful or indulgent with food, okay? Because we understand that like that is absolutely a gift. But what I am saying is this idea of finish all of it is just not, it's not kosher. It's not ideal, right? Because when we teach the idea of a clean plate means you've done a job well done, we've taught them that even if you hear the cues in your body, I'm full, I have a stomach ache. I no longer want to eat this. You need to ignore that because the standard that we need to reach here is a clean plate. A clean plate equals a job well done. A clean plate equals you're not ungrateful. A clean plate equals that you've done what I asked, and the perception of being wasteful or ordering too much is not there. Now, when we go out to lunch, Blake and I always kind of, I have this big thing, like I never want the kids to be hungry. And Blake's always like, but do we need to order 12 things to ensure that? No. So there's always this balance that I feel like we've gotten better at as the kids grow and their likes and dislikes and food needs change, you know, like, so sometimes we'll like order and we'll be like really proud of ourselves that we didn't have like a ton of stuff not touched. Like, okay, good. You know, we shared this or we did that or the kids ordered this and I had a little, like, excellent, so good. And that's more of just like trying to be like financial savvy too. Like, you know, I'm going to order something and I'm going to eat it. And if I don't, I can take it to go. And if I don't, that's okay too, right? But like not being wasteful in any form, but the focus not being on the responsibility of the tiny person. And the reason that I'm talking about this as the expectation is I feel as though this dated idea had to do with the expectation of proving this idea of gratefulness or proving that you were eating what you needed to and other people observing that. And it kind of takes on this idea that I have of when it comes to like forced apologies. And this gets like so much, I always try to like word this appropriately, but I feel like you know me, right? Like we've been on this journey long enough where you know where I'm coming from, but like for newbies here, disclaimers, I'm a big, like a big champion of the idea of tiny people learning to internalize what is going on to gain the empathy that they need to own their actions. So for me, a forced apology literally equals nothing. Like, okay, fine, something happens, right? And my girlfriend and I at dinner tonight were talking about this situation she observed at her gymnastics class this week, and it was absolutely insane. It was with a group of four-year-olds, and I was like, what were people trying to accomplish with this situation? And not in the judging, like, I wouldn't have done that, but in the situation of, like, what were we really trying to accomplish here? Like, as people, as human beings, raising other human beings, like, what were we trying to help out this tiny person with? Because I guarantee you we did not accomplish it. Because here's the thing. Here's my beef with looking at a child and being like, you better say you're sorry or you're not XYZ, right? Okay. It's not that a child has done something wrong and apology is warranted to empathize with someone. It's that when you look at someone, especially under the age of like 7, when they're still developing like frontal lobe stuff, right? Like that feeling of like good and bad and should I say sorry for that? Like just that like decision-making skills, right? Okay, when that's still developing, you looking at them and being like, Bobby, apologize to Sarah. You better apologize to Sarah. You're not going over to, I don't even know, Kennedy's tonight or whatever. I don't know where I'm coming up with these names. So Bobby looks at Sarah, these fictitious children we're talking about now. Bobby looks at Sarah and he's like, I'm really sorry, Sarah. And she's like, okay. And he's like, can I go to Kennedy's? And you're like, yeah, thank you, Bobby. What did that do? Did Bobby feel empathy for what he did? How do we know? So like for me, I do believe apologies have power, absolutely. But for me, in situations like that, I like to use the example of like a perfect example, actually, tonight happened at the dinner table with my daughter and my best friend's daughter. They're little, so they are just like siblings. They're just like family. So they like Sour Patch Kids, sweet, sour, bicker, whatever. So they were playing together. Her tiny human bumped into Corey and Corey bumped her arm on the chair and she was upset about it because she felt like, you know, little mama wasn't listening to her. And so she started crying. And so my girlfriend looks at her daughter and she's like, Corey's crying. Do you see Corey's crying? And so, you know, she walks around and she looks and she's like, oh, I didn't see her crying. And so Cindy looks at her and she's like, oh, why do you think she's crying? And she goes, oh, I don't know. And so she looks at Corey. She goes, Corey, why are you crying? It was so cute. And Corey's like, you bumped into me. It hurt my arm. And she goes, oh. And Cindy looks at her and she goes, oh, maybe that hurt. Do you think that hurt? And she was like, oh, Corey, did that hurt? And Corey was like, yeah. And she's like, I'm sorry, Corey. I didn't mean to hurt you. And it was this really beautiful moment where you're leading the child, right, to go through these steps because they can't, I mean, decision making, okay? We're 3 and 4, okay? So, like, let's read the room on who's our key audience here. They don't have that, right? We have that. And so it's easy for us to expect that, right? We don't have that, right? So we walk them through those little steps to help them notice the cues. Oh, someone's crying. Oh, I can ask what's wrong. Oh, that's what's wrong. Oh, okay. Oops, it was an accident. Oh, okay. And then they like immediately went back to playing. And I think this self-awareness is really beneficial. And the same can be said for the food, right? We're sitting at the dinner table and I will more often than not order something. And this is what I always tell my kids. Let's order something. You can always order more. I will always, always, always order you more if you're still hungry. I was always fed as a child, so I don't know where this like guilt or fear comes from, but I have this very, very real feeling of never wanting my tiny humans to go to bed hungry. Like, I can't stand that idea. That idea hurts my heart. And everyone has little idiosyncrasies. That is just one of mine. I'm like, I need to make sure all children are fed before they go to bed. Like, I need tummies to be good. So I have that. So I'm always like, okay, well, why don't we get this and this? And if you guys want something more, you just let me know and we'll order it. No questions asked. And if you don't finish that second thing, that's okay, right? We have dad, he's a garbage disposal. No. But what I'm saying is like the idea that as we go, we eat, we listen, we look for cues. How am I feeling? Am I eating too fast? Is my stomach hurting? Am I eating too slow? Maybe I'm not eating enough. The meal is moving along and I'm busy playing or doing, maybe I need to take time to eat, right? Maybe I'm eating and now all of a sudden I'm full. Maybe I'm eating, but I actually am still hungry when I finished my meal. What else could I eat, right? What other fuel could I put in? We've had some good fuel. I could add some fun fuel. I could add some fruit. I could add some ice cream. Like, what do I want to work into that? And on top of that, a layer that we add on is how do I want my body to feel? How do I want to fuel it? What do I have going on, right? So Lennon might come and be like, can I have XYZ? And I'm like, absolutely. What would you like to eat? That's great. Okay, we have swim champs this weekend. What are some foods that are going to fuel us, right? Okay, this is, okay, also, but like, yeah, work in that Sour Patch strip. Like, heck yeah. Okay, work in that popsicle, girl. Yes, ma'am. Okay, but let's make sure that we've got the balance going. So when it comes to swimming this weekend or when it comes to just life in general, our body feels ready. Our body feels good. We're listening to it. And I think this idea is really beneficial long-term because if we're teaching tiny humans how to listen to their body, we're teaching them how to listen to their intuition. So when we're teaching them about food, it's not just about their stomach being full. It's about them being able to hear that, being able to recognize that, and being able to have confidence in saying, I'm full. And not someone being like, no, you're not. You need to take 20 more bites and clean that plate. Now, sometimes my girls will be messing around, having fun, chatting, doing all the things, right? And they're like, I'm not hungry. And I'm like, girl, I for sure know because we've been here before. So like, why don't you just take 3 bites? We'll call it a day and we'll take the rest home. But like, I want you to fuel your body. I don't want your body to be feeling sluggish and not great later, okay? So again, helping them to recognize, oh, okay, you know what? Yeah, maybe I've been chatting a little bit. I could take a couple bites. Okay, no, I still feel that way. Okay, great. But it teaches them to trust their selves, trust that intuition. So it's more than food. So when that grandma or that grandpa or that aunt or that uncle or that friend looks at you and they're like, you're just going to let them not finish that and then you're going to let them have dessert or you're going to let them... There are numerous times when I encounter different things and it's not just like family, right? Like it's outside sources and we might be somewhere and someone might be like, oh, if you take 20 bites or 5 bites, I'll give you this. No, we don't barter with food. I'm not bartering with food. I don't barter with food. Like that's not something. And that, of course, I could say is projection with my struggles with food and the things that I still daily have to literally talk myself out of. Like I had a pretzel and pasta today. And can I just tell you the internal dialogue that murdered my soul for half of the day being like, wow, Amanda, wow. I mean, and sorry, trigger warning, but like the amount of beating up that I, and then me stopping myself and being like, excuse you, who the hell are you talking to? Yeah, I had a pretzel and pasta and it was a delicious, delicious meal. It was healthy. It had tomatoes in it and it had spinach and onions. And I made that. I made that and it was delicious and I loved it. And that pretzel was so good. I don't regret a thing. I'm not gonna buy the lie I'm feeding myself right now, right? So when people will say that, I will just be like, oh, you don't have to do that. We don't do the bites to the dessert thing, right? Like we can have a little of both. And disagree with me. Like, that's fine. Disagree with me. I don't care. That it's my tiny human. You can't actually force them to eat it. And again, that trend that I was talking about on TikTok, I would need a paragraph to explain what I mean. I can't just find a sentence, and maybe I will. Okay. Maybe I will find a sentence, but for now I cannot. But the thing is that when we are constantly being like, no, you're not full. You need to say you're sorry. Right. So I'm correlating the forced finishing of dinner to the forced saying of I'm sorry, right? Both of those things, I really think put up roadblocks without us knowing it of our tiny people being able to experience, hear themselves, trust the intuition with food, trust with their body. Excuse me. Oh my gosh, I burped again. Y'all, we are keeping it classy tonight. I'm just like, there's a lot of indigestion happening today. Okay. I'm just gonna be honest. I had a taco very late and it was spicy. Spicy food usually does not bother me, but I'm stressed out about several things in my life right now. And so we're not going to dive into that right now. I'll probably eventually share about it, but like, just like say a little prayer for me. If you don't say prayer, say a little vibe. I have a doctor's appointment on Monday and I would just appreciate a little extra love on that. Okay. Back on topic, but like my stress level is causing indigestion. It's not the spicy food is my point. Moving on. What I'm trying to get at with all this is that it leads to a bigger issue of being able to feel confident in their choice of saying I'm full, for them to feel aware and emotionally mature to have empathy that stems from themselves, right? That's not performative of, okay, well, in this situation, I know I messed up, so I'll just say the apology, write that off and be done with that. No. I felt what I did. I see what I did. I can empathize for that person because that empathy factor is really lacking. That empathy factor of being able to stop and say, ooh, wait a second. Hold up. I can see this. I can sense it. I can feel it. I'm emotionally aware of what is happening here. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I am so sorry. Right. It can also teach them to be like, wait a second. Hold on. I need to ask some questions because I'm not seeing in this situation here. It can help to build tools so they're not necessarily going to get gaslit as easily. They're going to be like, wait a second. No, I trust myself. No. I know what's happening here. No, you can't play that on me. But when we force apology, and here's the thing. I'm not saying like if you already tell your kids, like say sorry to Sarah, Bobby, and then you can go to Kennedy's. I'm not saying like, oh no, it's down the rabbit hole, like so bad, whatever. You're allowed to develop and change as a person, and you're allowed to do that with your tiny humans to help them have skills that maybe we didn't know. And maybe you totally disagree with me and you're like, this is absolute BS. Why have I listened this long? And like, that's okay too. But what I'm saying is intuition is invaluable. And as they grow older, and I think of this with girls, as they grow older and they're around other people, right? And they're out and about and they're living life. Maybe they're out at a party. Maybe they're out at a dinner and their body or their mind or their intuition is telling them something about that situation, is tipping them off, right? They're like, ooh, something does not smell quite right. Okay. I don't feel great about this, right? Instead of being like, oh, well, whatever. The polite thing to do is say thank you, or the polite thing to do is accept that, or the polite thing to do is not say no, right? You're bugging me, but I'll just like laugh it off. Ha ha ha. No. My intuition is telling me you're off. I don't like it. You're making me uncomfortable. Please leave me alone. I don't understand where people got this idea that a girl saying no thank you is somehow impolite. You can offer something. Someone's allowed to turn it down. My favorite thing is teaching the girls how to say no politely. I love it. London the other day, someone said something and she's like, I love that you enjoy that. I don't think it's for me. was like, yes, that right there. That's what we're trying to do here. There is a polite way to say no, absolutely. It is not impolite to say no. But when we're constantly in control and dictating how it happens, it's not a self-learned skill. It's a performative skill. And people can say anything they want all day long about apologies and stuff, but kids grow up eventually and they learn what they need to do, just like us as adults do, to fit the P's and Q's of the checkbox to do what they need to. And that is how things go missed. You know, you tell a child that they aren't feeling signs of anxiety and they can't have that. And they're not depressed. They're just tired. And they should not stay up as late. And they should not eat as much sugar. And they should just get it together. That's what their issue is. And then you have a child shutting down emotionally who's not wanting to talk to you because every time they do, you shut them down. You invalidate them. They learn how to be performative and show up as they need to and do what they want. I was having a conversation with someone the other day. And they said that they were, I asked them a question, and it was a teen, and I asked them a question. And they literally responded to me without hesitation in the most natural, casual way. Well, I mean, it depends. Are we talking about school or are we talking about home? Because I know how I need to show up for both. And I'm like, oh, okay. All right. And I'm not talking about like they know how they need to show up and be a good listener or all that stuff. I'm saying they were saying there was a duality in the personality of how they would show up. They knew what was needed XYZ here, right? And not in a way that like you're like, oh, okay, yeah, make your bed. But in a way that they weren't fully themselves. And I thought it was so interesting because I remember that, you know, get good grades, don't get in trouble. Don't make too much noise, right? You know, I love Adam so much, but Adam was so chaotic for my parents in what was going on with him that it was very easy, as long as nothing really dipped in my life, to just baseline everything, you know? And I will tell you that baseline's not a great place to be, because baseline means that there's something beneath the surface. And I'm not saying like if your kid is just living life and so great and nothing's like, I'm saying that if they are doing that, you should still be checking in. It was so funny. A couple years ago, I was talking with my dad about something. We were talking about schools, because the amount of weird pressure that comes into school stuff, and maybe this is just me, but I've spoken with several of my friends with kids in school, the amount of pressure you feel with your child in education and what they're getting and where they're going and what they do and what they need, it's insane. You know, I've had one in occupational therapy. I've had two in speech therapy. You know, there's a lot of needs. I have, I call it tutoring. It's not so much tutoring. It's like added support, added layers for like things that I cannot give to my tiny humans because I'm too tapped, or I don't have the resources, or it is not my gifting. And so it's just, it feels overwhelming a lot of times when it comes to that type of thing. But I was talking to my dad and we were on the phone and I said something to him and I'm like, well, blah, 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 this is fine. And he goes, well, Amanda, you just can't be on cruise control though. And I was like, what? And he's like, I'm just telling you, when it comes to tiny humans, whether you're talking about, you know, the church you want to go to or the school they're going to, or you can't be on cruise control. Even if they seem fine and they're treading, they're just tracking along at like 65 miles an hour and they're following the rules of the road, you need to be checking in. You need to be checking in because they might be on autopilot. They might be on cruise control. Okay, they might be in cruise control and the car is going insane. I know I'm using a car analogy, but I just want you to go with me on this. When you see that baseline just moving along, just trucking along, look at that car going down the road. It's at 65 in the 65 zone. It's staying in the lines. They could have cruise control on and be completely imploding inside, you know, with one knee on the steering wheel, just like holding it together because they know what they need to do. And that's why I think this idea of something as simple as food and allowing someone to listen to their body. You know, I still struggle with that. And I've talked about this on episodes before, the amount of emotional turmoil I go through thinking about a cake pop. And I'm not actively currently struggling with an ED, but the mental mindset, the self-talk that treats me like crap from myself is always there. It's always in the back of my mind. Even if it's not actively there, I have to tell her to stop. I have to tell her to be quiet because I spent so long with that being the focus. And even working out, you know, again, trigger warning, talking about food things. Even with working out, I have to remind myself how much stronger I've been because, to be quite honest, I weigh almost what I did when I was pregnant with London. But I'm really strong. A lot of it's muscle. But I don't step on a scale often. I never step on a scale often in general. But like the trainer that I work with, he does not weigh me or measure me often. I will ask him to check my body fat percentage to see that I'm making strides in building a stronger overall body. And he will, from a perspective of a trainer, measure me. But I'm not looking at that to validate what I'm doing. And it's a very, very difficult thing to do because it's like a retraining of your mind. It's like I don't want to call it so much a reparenting, but in a way, it's like that idea of reparenting. You're retraining how you frame that. So what I'm saying is if I can throw my tiny humans a little something here with like, boom, intuition when it comes to your food, and a little something here, boom, intuition when it comes to your empathy. And a little something here, boom, intuition as you grow up to fill out the room, to fill out the situation, to know when you should leave a situation, to know when you should tell someone no, to know when you should phone a friend. That's what I'm really trying to teach here. I'm trying to teach them to trust themselves instead of constantly questioning themselves. Because when you're constantly telling them how they feel, what they know, what they don't know, and invalidating them in that way, something as simple as food of being like, you're not full. And they're like, oh, my stomach literally feels full. No, you're not full. Eat more. Okay, don't listen to myself. That's what you're telling me. Okay, go apologize to Sarah, Bobby. Oh, okay. All right, I'll apologize to her. Why am I apologizing? Well, you did that. Oh, I did do that. Okay. I'm sorry I did that. Oh, okay, cool. All right, that's done. Walk away. I want them to trust themselves. And this idea of finish your plate and forced apologies makes things performative. It makes things checkboxes. It teaches them that even though their body might be telling them something else, that doesn't matter. That's not what you're doing. You're showing up how I need you to in this moment, and this is what you'll do. It's like that idea of when people feel like if a child's not sobbing uncontrollably, they're not sorry. Like you can't just say, I'm sorry. There needs to be added emotion to it. Not every child is going to cry hysterically. And this idea that other people are going to sit there and expect something from them is insane to me. It's like the idea of opening gifts. I'm going to use another analogy. Go with me on it. You've been with me long enough. But this idea, opening gifts gives me massive anxiety. And I just, because I feel like people want to see something. Am I going to be, and granted, this could just be me. Okay. I got to be putting this on myself, but the idea of being like, am I excited enough? Is this the reaction they were looking for? Am I doing this? It gives me massive anxiety. So I don't have the kids open gifts at birthday parties usually. And when the grandparents came over for Christmas, I'm always like, okay, well, let's take into account that, you know, we've got young ages here and they're not ungrateful if they go to the next present. They're excited. We're going to take out this idea of ungrateful. We're going to add in this idea of there's six gifts in front of them. They're excited and curious to see which is in each of them, and then they're overstimulated. So we're going to do that. Now, are we going to encourage them with, oh my gosh, was that on your list? I'm so excited Nana and Pop got that for you. Oh my gosh, was that, that is so exciting. I love that for you. Yay. Yes, absolutely. We're going to teach them the skills of things of excitement and how can they channel that and express that. Some kids just, you know, don't do big expressive things. And it's a lot of pressure to be like, well, did you like the gift? Well, tell them you liked the gift. Well, come on. I mean, you don't look like you like the gift. Do you want me to take it back? I could take it back if you don't like it. It's like, oh my God, chill out. Chill out. My mom had this really cool saying that I actually have internalized and I literally live by it. And it can be hard some days, but it is when you give a gift, that's it. You give the gift, with the intent that you gave it, and that is your reward, the heart that you had when you gave it. It is not the other person's responsibility. And this is very difficult, I can tell you, through like years of practicing this, because I used to get really upset when I was a teen when I would give someone a gift and the reaction wouldn't be great. And I'm not talking about my toxic boyfriends, because like, boo, like they were just toxic gas, like I can't. But what I'm talking about is the idea that I was waiting for people to meet my expectations with the gift, but I was choosing to give the gift. So my mom told me, she goes, look, once you give a gift, it's out of your hands. She goes, you cannot change how the receiver receives it, okay? And you learn from it each time. Maybe, so, and that's not to say, like, say you give a gift to someone and they're super ungrateful. Like, that could be a whole separate issue. But what I'm saying is you give this gift and someone's reaction isn't all you hoped and dreamed, and now you're angry at them. And she used to say, the power that you have is the heart that you gave it with, and that's what you have to stick with. And that has been really helpful for me in situations when I've done something and maybe hasn't gone as planned, or I've thought something was going to go one way or the other. I just remind myself the intent that you gave it is what matters. Even if someone else doesn't receive it in the right way, I still can feel good about what I did. So what am I encouraging here? What am I saying here? Per usual, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not saying there's one way to do things. I am simply trying to give food for thought. Wink, wink. We're talking about food. I'm trying to give food for thought in the idea of this mentality of wasteful versus teaching them what to do. So maybe they start smaller with a helping and we offer a couple more. Maybe we take the time to ask them how they feel. I always like my girls, they get excited when they, I don't know why, because we don't do a finisher plate, but they get super psyched when they eat their stuff. And when they walk over to me, I don't go, oh, your plate's empty. I love to say this to them. I go, oh, how's your body feel? And they'll say, oh, so good. Some days they're like too full. And I'm like, okay, remember that for next time. I ask them how their body feels, because that's what I'm trying to fuel. I'm not trying to fuel this idea of what they should do or this expectation. I'm trying to get them to fuel their body and listen to it. This idea of forced apologies, what am I trying to say here? Your kids should never apologize? Absolutely not. You should never apologize? Absolutely not. Well, what I'm saying is like tonight at the dinner table when we're like, hey, did you notice Corey is crying? Huh, that's weird. Do you know why she's crying? No. Do you want to ask her why she's crying? You know, because they're friends and they're curious and they want to know what's going on with one another. And believing that their intent is good, not looking at them and having this belief that there was some malicious, ill intent with them. She purposefully bumped you into the chair. Y'all are 3 and 4. You were excited playing a game and you bumped. But the belief that they are inherently good in this situation and we can help guide them to find out what's going on and then to discover how they can remedy the situation and move on from it. So, as always, this was just amusing that I wanted to share with you. It is 10:30, and this was a longer episode, but I've given up putting expectations on how long these are going to be. I got to be real. My sleepy time tea is almost cold. Toy Story is luckily still on, so I think I'm going to go hang out and get some snuggles with the tiny queen who is, I mean, she was passed out when I walked in here for show, because I saw her little self. But I also have to let the dog out to pee. Ugh. Puppies, y'all. Puppies. Okay. They're cute, but ooh-wee. Oh, wow. My voice cracked like a 13-year-old in puberty. Okay. Listen. I love you being here. And if there is only ever one listener, I promise I will continue to share for you. The support you guys give me on this is absolutely insane. Those of you that have supported me through Spotify on the financial end, I don't even know how to thank you. Like the amazing 3 people that are like, and I don't say that to be like, oh, 3 people. No, I am shook that even 3 people were like, yeah, I want to donate to Amanda's Spotify month. Like, you guys are just sweet. And those who listen and share, and when you tag me when you listen, I love you so much. I am so grateful for you. So as always, we've come to that part in the episode that I absolutely love, that has come to mean so much to me because it's meant so much to you. If no one has told you lately, let me. You are loved. You have exponential and limitless potential. You are needed. I am happy you are here. We need you here. And I love you. Now you need to look in the mirror and tell yourself that. I feel it right now that somebody out there is not fully believing this, but let me tell you right now, what they said does not matter. You do have exponential and limitless potential, and you are not frivolous, and you are not lost, and you are not undecided. You are discovering, and you're allowed to try new things. You're allowed to change your mind. Their expectations or idea of you does not need to and should not determine what you do. You are allowed to do things differently. Okay? I don't know who needed to hear that, but that one was for you, okay? All right, I love you so much. Now, do something nice for yourself. Get a Coke, have some sleepy time tea, ice roll your face. I bought some new ice things that are going to come from Amazon. I'm excited, but I love you so much, and thank you for being here. All right, good night.